Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ultra processed, ultra confusing. Well, the topic of so-called UPFs has dominated health headlines over the past few years. Some studies have indicated worrying consequences of overconsumption, and this has caused uncertainty about what we should and we shouldn't be eating. Well, in her new book, The Unprocessed Plate, simple, flavourful, UPF-free recipes to transform your life, nutritionist Rhiannon Lambert aims to clear up some of that confusion and offers ideas for minimally processed meals. And Rhiannon joins me now on the line. Hello to you, Rhiannon.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Lovely to have you with us, and congratulations on your new book. UPFs, ultra processed foods, they have gotten an awful lot of bad press very recently. But you might explain to us what they are and why some of them are harmful.
Of course. And it's a really overwhelming subject. First of all, full disclosure, the food we eat can be really emotive. And I think everyone's got their own connection to food. And I don't want to demonize food. So when we discuss topics like this, we're talking about category four in something called NOVA. Scientists created a category to try and explain what a UPF is, but not everyone agrees. So at the very beginning, in number one, you would have an apple picked from a tree. Number two, you might put those apples into a tin in a fruit salad, or perhaps you press an olive and you make olive oil, or you put some chickpeas into a can. These are minimally processed foods. And you move on to fermentation, like items like kefir, which have been around for thousands of years, preserving things with salt. Then you move up to number four, if you get to the very end of the scale, which is what we're discussing and what all the recent headlines and studies are emerging to suggest that they're negative. And that would be that cake that could sit there for 3 months on the shop shelves and not go off because it's got a lot of additives. It's got emulsifiers for texture. It's got extra salt and sugar and fat and the perfect combination to make it taste hyper palatable, like you just want more. It's like a bag of crisps. But the confusing thing is that also in this category, you've got items that you might think are healthy. You could have a loaf of wholemeal bread in the supermarket that also has a long shelf life because of the additives, making it a UPF. Even a can of baked beans is a UPF.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the confusion comes in, right? Because some of these things are okay to have, at least occasionally, and some of the ultra-processed foods that you've just described, we really shouldn't be including them in our diet at all.
Yeah, I think it's a good discussion to have, because the best way to think about it is, let me look at my average day. And I often describe, you might think you're being healthy, but the average day could be a cereal, which is fine. It's a source of fiber. It's got fortifications, so added vitamins and minerals. That does make it a UPF, though. And if you're not having some fruit or extra yogurt with it, then you move on to the mid-morning snack, which might be a marketed high protein bar, might seem healthy, but actually that is again a UPF with artificial sweeteners, flavorings, additives, lots of different components there. Then at lunch, most of us on the go are buying a sandwich or a wrap, and you might think, oh, I've made a really good choice there. But what we don't realize is, again, the stabilizers. Why is that bread not going soggy? Why can it sit there without going off for that amount of time? I'm probably not getting one of my five a day in the filling in a sandwich or a wrap on the go. Then you get to dinner. If you're buying a ready meal that's marketed as a healthy ready meal, chances are it's really high in salt. Some of them recently, up to 70% of meals found were higher than your daily intake of salt in one ready meal on the shop shelves, low in fiber. And a jar of pasta sauce could be a quick and easy option. It might appear to be healthy. And I'm not saying these items are bad individually, but cumulatively, if you're eating like this every single day, a jar of tomato sauce is a UPF. Mm-hmm. And we're again added more additives. So what's happening cumulatively is that clever marketing, food industry tactics, that every single day, because we're not cooking anymore, we've lost that kind of art, that family infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're busy in your life. You know, you're a working mum and you've got very young children. How do you avoid these things? Because sometimes, you know, with the best will in the world, and we're all trying our best, you've got to use a pasta sauce or something that has been processed when it comes to feeding your family, right?
Oh, 100%. And that's why I was really passionate about writing this book, because there's an element of privilege here. We've got to remember that the stat I've got for the United Kingdom is 2.8 million people don't have a freezer. So when I was writing this book, I was thinking, right, how can I help people that don't have the resources as well? I'm a mum. I give my kids processed food every day. We cannot deny the fact that it is part of society as well. You know, it's the norm at parties and all sorts of things you go to, and every day they creep in. So my biggest tip is to, rather than thinking about this overwhelming picture I've just painted, because it can seem quite depressive if you think about it too much, try and think instead, right, I'm going to give myself 1 hour this week to make, I know this sounds a bit out there again, but make a loaf of bread. You don't need to do it traditionally. All you need is 5 ingredients. I've got the recipe in my book. You don't need anything fancy. You don't need a bread maker. Mash it together with your hands, put it in the oven. That will then last 2 to 3 days airtight in the fridge. You're cutting down by making one item each week yourself. You're cutting the amount of extras you'll buy. If you get organized each week, and I've got a page on easy swaps every day you can make, instead of having that flavored yogurt in your house for your kids, I'd rather you add honey. And you might be thinking, oh my goodness, nutritionist telling me to add sugar to my yogurt. But, you know, that is better.
It's better than the alternative, is what you're saying.
It is. So there's easy swaps we can make.
Yeah. And tomato ketchup, you have a particular issue with. I notice you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan, but I know everyone is, which is why I discuss it a lot. Ketchup's so high in sugar and additives, and you can now buy some really fancy posh versions, but they cost a lot more. And I've got recipes in the book on how to make things like this. But if you are a ketchup person and you think, I cannot live without this, just think about minimizing it. Just have it once or twice a week. I think the conversation we're having here is, let's try and be really aware. Let's start learning about what the labels mean on our packets. Let's start to see, oh, actually, I eat mayo and ketchup every day. Maybe I can try and alternate that. Maybe I can add in something else. And have a look at the book. I've got 60 recipes in the back. And at the front, I even tell you how to write a shopping list. Go through your pantry if you don't have the equipment, how you can do this. Mm-hmm. Because it creeps in every single facet and corner, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you've got some really, lest anyone thinks we're not going to have anything nice now if we follow your plan. You've got chocolate, peanut and date bars, and they look absolutely delicious. And you've got fruit roll-ups, which for children is a great idea.
Well, I did it because my kids love jelly sweets. I was going to put a jelly sweet recipe in, but I might have to save that for another book. But I put the fruit roll-ups in because they're just so easy to make. If you've got fruit that's going off in the fruit bowl, cook it up, just bake it, flatten it out. And I've got the step-by-step instructions. It sounds really difficult, but it's really simple. And that's like a sweet to them. It tastes so good. I eat them as well, obviously. But my philosophy on nutrition is not about people feeling deprived. I don't want to put that moral compass on food. It has to be delicious. It has to taste good. And every now and again, it is fine to have UPFs. But if you are that person that's having them every single day of the week because of the links to the lower fiber intake and then in turn increased risks of cancers and things, we want to be trying to cook a bit more.
Mm-hmm. And the truth of it is that when you're cooking your own food from scratch, it's nicer. I know we hear that thing about ultra processed foods, that they're very easy to consume and they're tasty and so on. Mm. But the real truth of it is that real food is nicer than these things, right?
Of course it is. Of course. But our palate, so interestingly, our taste buds get really used to that hyper palatable texture and food. The food industry know what they're doing. You know, they've spent ages in laboratories taste testing the perfect amount of sugar and fat. You know, the reason we love ice cream and cake is because it's fat and sugar combined. And a lot of UPF foods that we buy are so hyper palatable. If you're in the evening and you're stressed, you've come back from work, the kids were a nightmare to put to bed, and you are just thinking, I just want to eat something. I need to soothe that emotion I've got right now. We don't go to home cooked food. We go to the packets. Mm-hmm. And that is deliberate. That is deliberate. And if we can start to think, well, if I was prepared and I'd made something like my own pudding from scratch, that's still a better option.
It certainly is. I was interested to see your section as well. This is particularly relevant for women, I think, at the moment, who are bombarded with messages around collagen and protein mm-hmm. supplements and creatine and so on. And you've gone through those supplements and you have some information in there about what is worth taking and what we shouldn't bother with.
Yeah, I have, because at the end of the day, if we can't address what we eat for breakfast, lunch and dinner, taking another ultra processed food in the form of a powder, in form of, I don't think a lot of people realize collagen's actually broken down fish scales that are grinded and put into a powder or other areas of cartilage. I don't think if people knew what was in the food they're consuming that's marketed as healthy, they might think twice about consuming it. Mm-hmm. And data isn't robust enough. And these powders have a place for some people. You know, I run a nutrition clinic. I know the space for sports nutrition and all sorts. But I often find that the money that we end up spending on these supplements, thinking they're going to make the biggest difference to our long-term health, could have been spent on that really expensive punnet of strawberries you wanted that week, and then you could have frozen them and added chocolate to them and done something else. And it's just like extra stuff you could spend that money on.
Yeah, sounds much nicer as well, Rhiannon. Your book is out now. It's called The Unprocessed Plate. And thank you so much for joining us. The Unprocessed Plate is available in bookshops now with those wonderful recipes and lots of practical information in there as well. And it is written by Rhiannon Lambert. Thank you very much, Rhiannon, for being with us.